Please turn with me in that lovely passage that we read in Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at this passage. We're going to look at a particular verse. It's verse 37. So you can keep your finger in that verse. In this passage, we read some of the wonderful blessings that we have being a Christian. For example, we read in verse 1, no condemnation exists for those in Christ Jesus. Our sin, the sewage of our lives, transferred to Jesus. And he was made sin for us. He bore that terrible punishment that we deserve. And now no condemnation exists. What an amazing blessing. Once, we read also that once we used to live according to the flesh. In other words, we lived by our natural instinct. Selfish, God-haters, lovers of what is evil in God's eyes. Now, we are at peace with the Almighty God. We live according to the Spirit. Practically, that means that our lives are being directed by God's precious Spirit dwelling inside us, helping us to enjoy God. What a blessing, eh? What a blessing. We read of a wonderful future hope. We're going to be glorified. What does that mean, glorified? In another part of the scriptures, we read these words. We read, when we see Jesus as he is, we will be made like him. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to be made clones of Jesus. We'll still be ourselves. But when we see him, we're going to be made into something that somehow mirrors the beauty of Jesus. What a blessing. What an amazing blessing. So in this passage, we read some of the wonderful blessings of being a Christian. But we also read in this passage that the Christian life is going to be hard. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be pain. And we live in a country that is hostile towards Christianity. You go out and ask your neighbour, what do you think of Jesus? And what do they reply? We asked someone a couple of weeks ago and his response was, look at all the wars religion has caused. Every day you hear the Lord's name used as a swear word. So we live in a country that is hostile towards Christianity. However, if you go to your brother or sister this evening and you ask that same question, what do you think of Jesus? What a contrast. What a different response. He's altogether lovely. He's the fairest of 10,000. He's more than life to me. And you see, we're no longer like the people around us in our country, in Shebcheb, because our mind has been transformed. We used to be God-haters, self-centered, lovers of money, but now we've been changed if we love Jesus. We choose Jesus. We choose what he offers. And so that makes us at hostility to the people around us. In verse 13, Paul talks about a fight that is going on within us. Are you struggling to concentrate this evening? Are you struggling to pray? Do you find prayer difficult? Do you struggle to read the Bible during the week? Do you struggle to go to the prayer meeting on Thursday evening? Do you struggle to trust God when things don't go as you thought they should? That's because there is a battle going on inside of us. And that battle is going to take discipline, energy, power from God to fight. And in verse 13 of Romans 8, Paul is using dramatic language to describe this battle. He says the Christian is one who is putting to death the deeds of the body. It's dramatic language, isn't it? The Christian is someone who is putting to death the deeds of the body. Now, in a fight, the action of killing your opponent is one of the most damaging things that you can do. And right now there's a battle that's going on inside us, and we are trying to do maximum damage to anything that is not pleasing to God. Brothers and sisters, do you find it hard to be holy? Do you find it hard to stand up for Jesus in your neighbourhood, in your workplace, at school? Do you find it easy to share the gospel with your neighbour or your friend? Do you find it hard being a Christian? It's a bit like riding a bike uphill. Have you ever tried that, riding a bike uphill? It's hard work. You have to keep pedaling and pedaling and pedaling. And the moment you stop pedaling, you start to slow down and you start to drift backwards. And before you know it, you've drifted into casual Christianity. You're no longer winning these battles. You start to backslide. And it's difficult to battle for holiness. What about unity? Alex was talking about unity this morning. Putting someone's preferences before our own. It's hard, isn't it? Like riding a bike uphill. And at the end of the chapter, Paul mentions that this fight isn't just a physical, outward battle. But this battle is against principalities and powers. We're not just wrestling with flesh and blood this morning, but we're wrestling with principalities and powers. We're wrestling with demonic powers. Even tonight, the devil is prowling around this room with a desire to destroy our walk with the Lord. The devil wants to destroy this church. He's trying to discourage us. He's trying to make us feel like giving up. Even this evening, I went to print my notes out with my computer, and the printer would not work. I've never had trouble with this printer before today. And we're in a battle, aren't we? Not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and demonic powers. And the devil is trying to discourage us. He's trying to make us feel like giving up. Have you ever felt like you've sinned too much for God to forgive you? Have you ever felt like you've sinned so much that God has lost his patience with you? And you know that is the devil putting those thoughts in your head, and it's all a lie, because God's word teaches that God is faithful and willing to forgive our sins if we confess them to him. Verse 35 of Romans 8 talks about tribulations, distress, persecution, famine, and even death. Verse 36, being killed all the day long. Brothers and sisters, tonight we are in the thick of a battle. We are in the thick of a battle. And Paul knew what he was talking about. For the sake of the gospel, Paul had been shipwrecked. He had been brutally beaten. He had been hungry. He had had sleepless nights. He had been discouraged. He had been put into prison. Paul knew what it was like to be in this battle. Well, tonight I want us to focus on that beautiful verse in verse 37. And I want us to glean some encouragements as we try to keep going, as we try to keep battling, as we try to pedal this bike up the hill, as we try to keep trusting the Saviour. So we're going to focus on verse 37. Let's read this verse together. We'll read from verse 31 to put it into context. Okay, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And here's the beautiful verse 37 that we're going to focus on. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we can look at that little phrase, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Three encouragements. If you're writing notes, we're going to look at three encouragements from this verse. And the first encouragement that we're going to look at, we're going to call victory is certain. Victory is certain. So if you're writing notes, write number one, victory is certain. Victory is certain. Suffering is certain, but victory is certain too. The battle is and will be tense, but we will triumph. You might feel like you're being killed all the day long, but you are victorious. You might even be killed, but you are still victorious. Now, there's a lot of uncertainty in all the world. We have Ukraine and Russia fighting each other, and we still do not know what the outcome of that battle is going to be. We have Gaza and Donald Trump in the news a lot at the moment, and we have no idea what Gaza is going to look like in 5 years' time. However, God says, if you are his child, in tribulation, in distress, in persecution, in suffering, when you don't have enough food to feed yourself or clothes to wear, God is telling us, I am guaranteeing you the victory. You will not fail to conquer. This is God's irrevocable, unchangeable promise for all his precious children. Paul writes, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Now, I want you to notice something in this text. I want you to notice a detail that is very important. Notice that our text does not say, after these things have taken place, you will be conquerors. After suffering has taken place, you will be a conqueror. After distress has taken place, you will be a conqueror. The text does not say that. It does not say, when persecution has finished, you will be a conqueror. The text says, in all these things, you are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In all these things. Now, there is a truth and a fact that we will ultimately be victorious after trials have taken place, when we are glorified in heaven. You know, that is a truth that is certainly brought out in other texts in this passage. For example, verse 18, Paul tells us that the greatest of sufferings of his present time are tiny compared to the glory that is to come. That is true, that victory will come after these trials. But our text in verse 37, we have a very important two-letter word, in all these things. This text specifically mentions that right in the midst of a trial or disaster or difficulty, we will be conquering. Now, that's encouraging, isn't it? That's encouraging. The devil means tribulations, trials, difficulties to destroy us. But God means tribulations, trials to make us victorious. Isn't that just wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Perhaps tonight you're sitting in front of me or you're on the live stream and you don't believe it. You're an unbeliever. You aren't a Christian. Why? Why aren't you a Christian? Why are you at war with God? Why haven't you gone to Jesus to have your sins forgiven? And if you're a Christian, what a wonderful truth we have here. God takes our tribulations. He takes our trials. He takes our difficulties. And he makes us victorious through them. Now, when you're going through a battle, when you're going through a trial, when you're going through a difficulty, does it feel like you're conquering? Does it feel like you're conquering? When you're swallowed up in distress because of some trial, do you feel like rejoicing or do you feel like crying? Well, if we're honest, we feel like crying, don't we? And that is natural. That is natural. When we're in distress, difficulties and challenges, we don't feel like we're conquering. And we see that in lots of different cases from God's word. Elijah, think about Elijah, that great man of God. There's Elijah on Mount Carmel, calling on God to bring fire from heaven to consume the bull soaked in water. There's Elijah. In James, he is commended as a great man of prayer. And yet Elijah, at the end of his ministry, he says, I've had enough. I'm no better than my fathers. And he prays to God that God would take his life away. You look at Moses. God calls Moses through the trial of public speaking. And God calls Moses to be his mouthpiece, to be his messenger. And Moses says to God, I can't do it. I can't do it. What about Paul? That man who gave us some of the most wonderful writings in the Bible. There he is being tormented by Satan about a physical weakness which he calls the thorn in the flesh. And we think that that might have been that he couldn't see very well, and perhaps he's referring to that. But he has this thorn in the flesh and he cries out to God, God, take this away from me. God, take this away from me. God, take this away from me. But God does not. And so it's natural, isn't it, to get discouraged in trials and difficulties. But God promises victory. And if God has promised victory, victory there must be. Who can thwart the will of God? Some of us are reading through Job at the moment, through our daily reading plan. And Job is talking to God, and he says these words in chapter 42. He says, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Think about God's power. Power that is unparalleled to anybody else. He has the ability to create an incredibly complex creation just by speaking. He only has to speak and demons and dark powers tremble and fly at the command of his voice. Psalm 115 says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Think about God's wisdom. Paul traces the wonder of salvation all the way to God's grace in this beautiful book of Romans. And as he traces salvation, he writes these words. He writes, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Rewind back history. When God says an event will take place, it happens. God promised Abraham a son in his old age. And even though his wife didn't believe it was possible, they had a son. in their old age. God promised that Joshua would conquer Jericho. He said that he would give Jericho, that great city with walls, into the hands of Joshua, and it was so. Before Jesus was born, God gave us about 360 prophecies that Jesus would fulfill. And mathematically, the chance of all those prophecies coming true for one person is impossible. Yet every one of them has been fulfilled in Jesus. When God says, "You will be conquerors," do you believe him? Do you believe him? If God wanted to, he could destroy all our enemies. He could heal all our sicknesses. He could prevent every natural disaster. But you know, all these things are part of his plan for bringing about victory. And do you know why we get so discouraged during trials? Do you know why we get so distressed in difficulties? It's because we forget that God's wisdom is infinitely higher than ours. We try to understand our circumstances in the light of our own understanding. And we ask the question, how can earthly suffering equal victory? But God is a mysterious being. We cannot always understand his ways. We cannot always understand his thoughts. And the more you try to explain God, the more you realize that he is just unexplainable. I love that verse in Job 11, verse 7. He says, that wonderful words, "Can you fathom the depths of God or discover the limits of the Almighty? They are higher than the heavens. What can you do? They are deeper than Sheol. What can you know? Can you probe the depths of the Almighty?" And you know, we don't need to be able to explain the promises of God. We just need to believe them because they've been made by God, the Almighty. And we may not understand what God is doing. We might not understand how on earth our suffering equals victory. But the fact that God has promised us that it is so, we know that victory is certain. So that was our first encouragement from this text. Victory is certain. That was our first point. Number one, victory is certain. Now we're going to have another look at something else in this text. Okay, we're going to look at another encouragement. And I want to entitle this, we promise massive victory. Massive victory. Massive victory. So if you're writing notes, write number two. Massive victory. Massive victory. Now notice that in this text, Paul doesn't write, "In all these things, we are conquerors." He doesn't write, in all these things, we are conquerors. He says, "In all these things, we are more than conquerors." More than conquerors. In other words, we're not just going to conquer by the skin of our teeth. It's not going to be a close escape or a near miss. But this victory that we are achieving in the midst of that trial is massive. In fact, it's so massive that Paul struggles to find words to describe the victory that we have through the trial. It's like saying that every type of victory is pathetic compared to this great conquering. Winning a chess match, winning in the Olympics, the ancient Roman Empire sweeping through the world, conquering as they go. These are just pathetic illustrations of the kind of conquering that we achieve when we go through trial and difficulty. More than conquerors. In what manner are we more than conquerors in trials? What does that victory look like? What does it mean? Well, let me just suggest a few things. First thing, trials and difficulties make us more like Christ. Trials and difficulties make us more like Christ. We have that beautiful text, verse 28, Romans 8, 28 and 29, where Paul writes these words. He writes, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Those last words, predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And that is in the context of working things together for good, for those who love God. In other words, God has pre-planned the future. He knew long ago who his children would be. And he planned the events in their lives such that those events would make them more like his son, Jesus. Now just look at Christ for a minute with me. Look at Christ. Isn't Jesus beautiful to look at? Everything that Jesus said is sweet to our ears. Everything that Jesus did when he was on earth was beautiful. He sees sheep without a shepherd, and he wants to be their shepherd. He sees man's sorrows and is moved with compassion. He sees our sin and goes to the cross for us. Isn't Jesus beautiful to look at? Don't you just want to be more like Jesus? Don't you want to be more like Jesus? Now I want you to imagine that right in front of you, there is a lump of gold. Okay? Lump of gold. But that lump of gold looks absolutely ugly. You know, that lump of gold is absolutely ugly. Because it's impure. That lump of gold has got impurities in it. Now, if we want to make that lump of gold beautiful, what have we got to do? Well, we've got to take that lump of gold and we need to take it to a furnace. And then we put that lump of gold in the furnace, and the heat and the fire in that furnace destroy the impurities. And now that gold looks absolutely beautiful to look at. And you know, we are precious in God's eyes. And he wants you to look beautiful. And so he takes you, and just like that lump of gold, he puts you in a trial. And you know, the most damage that that trial can do is to burn up the impurities in your life. And I think many would agree that as we look back over our lives, we knew that God was the closest when we went through trials and difficulties. We are more than conquerors because God uses trials to make us more like Jesus. But there's something else also. There's another suggestion. We are more than conquerors because no difficulty can ever separate us from the love of God. No difficulty can ever, ever separate us from the love of God. Verse 38 in chapter Romans 8 says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." The devil wants to separate you from the love of God, my friend. The devil wants to separate you from the love of God. But we're told that nothing, not even the power of the devil, can separate us from the love of God. Isn't that wonderful? So that's another suggestion of how we are more than conquerors, because we cannot be separated from the love of God. Another thing, we read in Romans 8:33, we are more than conquerors because we're told, who can bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Christ has paid the price for our sin at Calvary. We're justified. It's just like we have never sinned. And as we battle on through trials and difficulty, the more the devil might make accusations against you day and night, no charge will be laid against you. And more than that, verse 16 and verse 17 tells us that as we suffer with Christ, the Holy Spirit assures and confirms to us that we are indeed the children of God. Another thing, we are more than conquerors because the worst the enemy can do, the worst the enemy can do is to destroy the body. And if the enemy destroys the body, all the victories I've spoken about previously are realized to their full extent. So if the enemy does that worse and they kill the body, they kill our body, all the victories that we've spoken about are fulfilled. We are like Christ. We've said that trials and difficulties make us more like Christ. If we die, we leave everything and anything that isn't Christ-like behind us. We said that no trial can separate us from the love of God. When we die, we will be with God and experience him in a new way. We're told that nobody can successfully lay a charge against us. And when we die, we'll no longer be accused. And so, the worst the enemy can do gives us a tremendous victory. Now, we spoke about Elijah, who at the end of his life thought that he had failed in his ministry. He thought that nobody was listening to God's message, and he's discouraged, and he tells God that to take his life. But God says to Elijah, Elijah, that's not the case. That's not the case. There are 7,000 people who have not bowed down to Baal. Paul, we spoke about Paul a bit earlier, who cried 3 times to God, take this thorn away from me, take this thorn away from me, take this thorn away from me. And then as Paul realizes that God's not going to take this thorn away from him, as he goes through life with this thorn in the flesh, he writes these words. He says that God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may reside in me. And so this thorn in the flesh became the very way, gave Paul more reason to rejoice in the Lord, as God's power was perfected in his weakness. What changed Paul's understanding? What changed Paul's understanding? You know, he was crying to God, take this weakness away from me. Then he realized that weakness was beneficial to him. What changed in his understanding? Well, Paul realized that the benefit of having that weakness is there as an opportunity to become a conqueror through Christ's power at work in him. Ukraine used to be a country very much like our own, indifferent to the gospel. Now there is war in Ukraine, and terrible shockwaves of fear are going through the people of Ukraine. People as young as 18 in the army. Parents, can you imagine sending your 18-year-old child into the army? And I remember being told by a friend who works there. He said that a Ukrainian lady said to him, he said, I don't like this war that's going on right now, but I'm glad it's happened, because through this war, I become a Christian. And so we find that even in this midst of this ugly war, God is using it to bring about amazing victory for the gospel. And Ukraine, that was very much indifferent to the gospel, now there are people turning to the Lord Jesus because of the war. More than conquerors. In all these things, more than conquerors. Well, that's our second point. Massive victory. Number one was victory is certain. Victory is certain. Number two, victory is massive. Victory is massive. And there's a third thing I want us to look at together this evening, a third encouragement. Why is God working our circumstances out favourably towards us? You know, if we're honest, we have produced filth throughout our lives. We've offended God so many times. How can God be working out our circumstances in such a favourable way? Well, the answer is in our text. Paul says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Through him who loved us. And so the third point is, for those who are writing notes, number three, the victory rests on his love for us. The victory rests on his love for us. So number one, victory is certain. Number two, victory is massive. And number three, the victory rests on his love for us. That's wonderful, isn't it? I'm so glad that this verse does not say that I'm a conqueror because of my love for God. I'm so glad that this verse doesn't say I'm a conqueror because of my works, because I would not be a conqueror. But the victory is certain. The victory is massive, not because of anything we've done, but because of the love that he has for us. Because of his love for us, his children. Our love is so faint for him, but his love is so strong for us. And another little interesting thing about this verse, another very little important detail. Notice that this phrase is in the past tense. In the past tense. So Paul does not say we are more than conquerors through him who loves us in the present tense. But he says we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. The loved is in the past tense. And that's a very important detail. And Paul is pointing to something that happened in the past. When was the greatest victory of all accomplished? Surely it was at the cross. During the greatest suffering and trial that anyone has ever experienced and will ever experience again, Christ achieved amazing victory. There is no one who has suffered more than Jesus. And there is no one who has achieved a greater victory than what Jesus achieved at the cross. And you know, when we go through trials and difficulties, we suffer with him and we have victory, just like he did at the cross. More than conquerors through him who loved us. God loved us by sending his son. He loved us when he died on the cross. In a moment, Jesus could have took himself off the cross. In a moment, he could have called legions of angels to kill the very people who were crucifying him. But instead, he suffers and he dies. Why? Because he loved us. He loved us in such an amazing way. And he's loved us so much that he has a wonderful plan for us. He has planned out your life from today all the way to the day you die. And he's planned victory through everything you're going to experience. Verse 32, he did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Over the next few weeks, we're going to face trials and difficulties. Perhaps at this very moment in time, you're going through trials and difficulties. In the Christian life, the battle is going to be fierce. The devil is seeking to destroy you. The world is appealing to your old nature, and you're going to be enticed away from by the God of this. You're going to be enticed away from God into the world. Keep fighting. Keep pedaling that bike up the hill. And do it with your confidence in God. Take this promise that we've studied this evening into your week. Apply it, and it will encourage you to keep fighting in God's strength alone. Amen.